Welcome to How to Save Your Marriage with Nicola Beer, a full show of tips and practical strategies to repair, rebuild, and strengthen your relationship. If you are currently stuck, wondering if your marriage can be saved, or you know you want to save it but don't know how to go about changing it, this show is for you. To book your free marriage strategy session with Nicola, get the free marriage ebook or donate. If you are enjoying the show and want to help keep it flowing, visit www.nicolabeer.com.
Hi, and welcome to today's episode, which is what to do if one of you is super healthy and the other one isn't, and it's causing issues in your relationship. Now, in all relationships, of course, there are differences that we have to deal with. For example, one likes to watch movies and the other one likes to read, or one prefers going on beach holidays and the other one loves adventure holidays. These differences are easily overcome often, and life can accommodate both preferences. However, there are situations where it gets a little trickier to find the middle ground, especially when it comes to our health and the health of our loved one. I've worked with many couples who come to me to help them resolve their differences, and one of the most common disputes is where one is healthier than the other. This not only affects their choices in where to go to eat, what to buy when grocery shopping, or what to do in their spare time and on the weekends, evenings, etc. It affects their feelings towards the other. For example, if you can't stand your husband or wife smoking and they continue to smoke around you, or they smell of smoke, this can totally put you off wanting to be around them, or even being intimate with them may seem impossible. Same with a person who has a physically toned and fit body compared to someone who does no physical exercise. I want to go over some of the main examples of where couples I see differ in healthiness and their habits, whether they're healthy or unhealthy, and how you can overcome these difficult situations using some of my tips in saving marriages that are in trouble because of lifestyle differences. So let's talk about food first. I wanted to start with one of the easiest ones, food. So we all have different food preferences, which is great when you want to share different types of food with people who have never tried certain things before. However, it can cause real problems when one spouse is healthy and prefers to eat more nutritious, healthy foods, and the other one likes to eat junk food that may contain very little health benefits to their body. Having an unhealthy diet means you put yourself at risk of different types of illnesses, which can be one of the biggest concerns for a husband or wife who is into healthier eating, healthier lifestyle. In particular, when it comes to having children, it can cause so many arguments as well, as both spouses may struggle to let their children live according to their own beliefs, values, preferences on food and eating. And there also may be differences between someone wanting to be vegan, someone wanting to cut out dairy, someone wanting to not let their children have sweets, and things like that. So what can you do? Well, when it comes to discussing a healthy eating plan with a spouse who prefers to eat unhealthy foods, it is so important to remember that food is a very sensitive topic, and there are certain foods that we eat when we experience different emotions. And if you'd like to learn more about eating and emotions, then I do have a podcast show called Emotions and Eating with Nicola Beer, available on all the major podcast shows. And I also, on my YouTube channel, Nicola Beer, have lots of different helpful videos on how to overcome and how to break free from emotional eating and using food as a reward, a punishment, a crutch, an escape, etc. So it's important to recognize that different foods can mean that your husband or wife is going through different or difficult emotional times. And it's important to look at, okay, is this just a phase they're going through? Are they stressed? Are they dealing with a loss? a change, or is this a regular pattern? It's definitely a discussion that needs to be had if you're concerned about their health, if they keep on putting on weight, if they're eating in secret, if they are not eating. All of this is important. The best thing to remember when you want to communicate with something as sensitive as food, weight, etc., is to be patient and non-judgmental. To just calmly state what you're noticing. Because it's never easy for someone to admit that they may have a problem with food. And they may be in denial. And they may be very defensive. So it's just expecting that. And just saying that I'm noticing that you're eating a lot of sugar. I'm noticing that you're skipping meals. Is everything okay? I've noticed that you're not eating the meals that I'm preparing. Things like that. One of the things that can really help couples that I work with is to start to do food plans together. And putting things in place that can support both diets, both ways of living, and both tastes. Remember that when someone feels valued and not attacked, they are more likely to listen and take on board what you're saying. If you go in there with an attitude of superiority, an attitude of I know best, an attitude of you're wrong, then it's often going to create a distance and a stress. And as we need to eat, that's going to be part of your daily or weekly lives in the couple. When you do a food plan together, it allows you to plan grocery shopping and to make it an enjoyable experience where you can discuss your likes and dislikes and also let them share theirs and use it as an activity that allows you both to have a healthy discussion around food. Along with food, having habits like smoking can be really difficult to tolerate for some people, especially when it is your husband or wife who has the habit. Smoking can come with a range of health problems such as cancer of the throat, lungs, constant coughing, and so much more, all of which can be particularly worrying and difficult to cope with if you are a non-smoker and are exposed to their cigarette smoke. Additionally, there is the case of smell. Anyone who doesn't smoke will know that when someone smokes, the smell of the smoke surrounds the person in their clothes, their hands, their hair, and of course their breath. If a husband or wife doesn't like smoke, used to smoke but gave up, they may find it extremely difficult, extremely unattractive, and intolerable to be around their partner. And sadly, this happens a lot. So what can you do? Well, first things first, we need to understand that everyone has a different reason for smoking. Some are social smokers who only smoke when they are out with friends or work colleagues, and some are stress smokers who smoke when they are facing a difficult situation, and some are chain smokers who smoke one after another as they are addicted to the hit of nicotine that they get from a cigarette. And with all addictions that I work with, when I'm helping somebody to quit, to change a habit, whatever that habit is, it's also asking, what was going on at the time when you started smoking? What was going on at the time when you started heavily drinking? What was going on at the time when you were whatever it is? Because this can also identify the triggering pattern that began the habit. So in order for a couple to approach the subject of smoking, you need to identify what your spouse smoke is for. And the best way to therefore, once you've established this, to break free, that is if they want to break free. In order for someone to change their smoking habits, they need to want to. You cannot force someone to quit smoking. No amount of disrespectful judgments, putting them down, moving away, telling them it's disgusting, making ultimatums, threats, is going to help them to change. Often the extra pressure may make things worse. And the sad thing is that when there is that extra pressure, when there is an ultimatum, the person then will smoke and hide it, and then that encourages lying in the relationship, which is also going to make the relationship a whole lot worse. So it's very important that you, whatever you say to your spouse about their smoking, that you don't give them an ultimatum. Unless you really, really mean it. Unless it is really, really that important and it's not a threat to get them to quit. It's actually a real issue for you. The first thing you really want to do is you just want to share how their smoking makes you feel. I don't feel as attracted to you. I don't want to kiss you. It makes me feel worried that you're damaging your health. I don't like the smell of smoke. It makes me want to avoid you. This is the kind of thing that you may need to say. You're not telling them what to do. You're just stating the impact their smoking has on you. It's very crucial not to personally attack them, not to call them an addict, not to tell them that they're weak, that they're disgusting, etc. And you want to have that conversation where you want to understand, why are they smoking? What is causing them to smoke? Can you help them with the cause? Maybe the compromise is as your spouse cuts down or makes a conscious effort to mask the smell of smoking, or even decides in order to protect their health and your marriage that they will completely stop smoking and begin the process to quit. Whatever the outcome, remember that you cannot force anybody to do anything unless they want to. And we definitely don't want them to start lying about it and doing it behind your back. Support them to cut down or quit by encouragement, positive affirmations. I know you can do this. You're better than that. Offer to do activities to take their mind off the cravings. Ask them to share when they're having cravings. When I quit smoking, I used to smoke for around about 17 years. And I quit over 10 years ago now. I used hypnotherapy. It was really, really powerful for me. I had the recording of the hypnotherapy and I listened to it again and again to really change my thinking around smoking, change my belief around smoking, that I used to smoke and now I don't. And it really, really works for me. It's very powerful. But I did literally listen to the hypnotherapy track about 40 to 50 times over the period of 1 to 2 months. And that's what I do for other people. I literally create 2 or 3 different hypnotherapy quit smoking recordings, from smoking is poison, to I am a non-smoker, to I am staying a non-smoker, I quit easily. And then I give them the recordings for each of the smoking hypnotherapies that I do online. And then they listen to them again and again and again until their mindset has changed. And it's a very, very powerful way. But the reason that I have a 97% success rate with my smoking hypnotherapy is because I will only work with people who want to quit themselves. Anybody that is interested in my online smoking hypnotherapy that is there because of their husband or wife, it's going to be a complete waste of time. You have to really want it yourself. It's okay to not know if you're going to be able to not smoke. It's okay if you don't believe that hypnotherapy is going to work. But if you're only there because your husband or wife has sent you, your husband or wife has told you that they're going to leave you because of your smoking, or they won't sleep with you until you quit, the changes are often not going to last, because for change to last, we have to want it. And sometimes with smoking, like with other hypnotherapy sessions that I do for addiction, like cutting down or changing drinking behaviours or stopping smoking weed or whatever, I find that there needs to be an understanding that continuing the behaviour is causing a problem in their life. If they don't believe that it's causing a problem, if they believe that it's bringing loads of benefits in, they're going to convince themselves to pick up the habit again. So I mentioned alcohol, so let's talk about alcohol. So alcohol, just like smoking, is a habit that can affect the marriage. Of course, alcohol, in most cases that I see when it comes to relationships, can affect the relationship a lot more than smoking, because with drinking, behaviour can change. Sometimes people can become irritable when they're drunk. They can have mood swings. They can say hurtful things. They can become a different person. And then when they become sober again, they will expect their husband or wife to forget whatever they said, whatever has happened, and just carry on as normal, which for a lot of people is very hard to do. This can be very draining for the spouse who is married to a person that perhaps can't handle their drink anymore, that is either habitually drinking, or that once they start drinking, they don't have any limits and they just literally go for it. So not only can it be the irritating behaviour that can sometimes come with drinking, it can also be worrying about their health. And also, you can be on a completely different wavelength to someone. Let's say that you're on the herbal teas all night, they're having just a few drinks, already the conversation may shift because they're on a different vibe. And so it can actually feel quite lonely if you're in a relationship with someone that is drinking a lot and you're not. And even if your husband or wife is a happy drunk, sometimes for some people, drinking can mean that they forget the conversations that they've had. Now, sometimes this happens without alcohol. And I've worked with many couples where we've focused on improving memory for somebody. I've done a hypnotherapy on the memory improvement. But sometimes in a relationship, if one person is drinking and they forget promises that they've made, plans that they've made, it can be really hurtful. And over time, a husband or wife might think, what is the point? What is the point in talking to you? Because our conversations are just forgotten the next day. You can't even remember what you've said or what we've talked about. And that can hurt. And like I said, that can actually happen and does actually happen without alcohol. So if it's affecting the marriage in these kind of ways, it needs to be, first of all, discussed and then some actions taken to save the marriage. First of all, you need to work out what you can and cannot tolerate. Set your boundaries, whether you want to be around them when they're drinking or plan other things for yourself. Just like with the other ones, making ultimatums isn't going to work. So it's really a case of, okay, if you want to drink on Friday and Saturday night, I don't want to be around you. I'll happily be around you if you're only going to drink this or you're not going to drink that. So therefore, I'm going to go and do this. For example, that's what sometimes people decide to do. Or they say, go and have a blowout, but please do it outside of the house. Do what you like. Make sure you get home okay, and that kind of thing. But for a lot of people, they can't sleep until their husband or wife has got back into the house safely. And another lady I was working with recently, she said she couldn't sleep all night because she had to wait for her husband to come in, and then he would come in and then he would start cooking. And so she had to make sure that her husband was in the house, had cooked and eaten, and then she would make sure all the gas and all the electric and everything was turned off, made sure he was in bed, and then she could sleep. So she ended up, bless her, staying awake pretty much all night on the nights that he went out. So there has to be some kind of boundary set, agreement set for what and what is not tolerable. Like with any addiction or any problem, it's important to look at, where is this behaviour coming from? Are there recent events that have led to it? Is there stress? Is there a midlife crisis? If there's a low self-esteem? Is it that the habit has got worse over time? They've become more attached to whatever crux it is, and how to address it. Often we don't realise how much drinking can affect our self-esteem, our loved ones, and so it's important to have an open discussion and to make the right choices for the relationship. If there is an addiction, it's a very, very sensitive area. course, with most addictions, there's a strong denial element to it. No one likes to believe that they are out of control, and so they're going to be defensive and say that they can stop whenever they want. And again, it's something that's going to need to be talked about. And definitely guide them or yourself to professional help. It's difficult to deal with these issues alone. You want to get the right support, you want to get the right help, and there is plenty of help available, whether you seek a specialist or get some of the free support from a specialist support group. There are many options available, so it's just a case of reaching out and not seeing that as a weakness, but as a sign of strength. It's the easiest thing in the world to pretend that it isn't happening. And now I'm going to talk about exercise. So some people are more attracted to a fit, toned body. Others aren't. Whether we like it or not, our physical shape is determined by our lifestyle choices, and how we look can turn someone on or off. For some women, a man being obsessed with their weight or biceps is a turnoff. For other women, they love it. Similarly, some men love a curvy woman, and others prefer lean. It all comes down to personal preference, and of course there is no right or wrong. Physical attractiveness is a massive key in marriage, and a couple will do well if they stay attractive to one another. It's very important. No other relationship is physical attractiveness important, only in a romantic relationship. And physical attractiveness is tied to affection, to sex, so it's very important. Often though, it can actually also go beyond looks when it comes to exercise. Many men and women I speak to are attracted to the mindset of someone who is physically active, that takes care of their body through working out. They respect them, they take pride in themselves. This is attractive. Some people find it a massive turn-off if their husband or wife is sitting around the house all day on the weekends. If they're not active, if they're not showing motivation when it comes to moving and training their body. And big issues can occur in the marriage when one person is exercising heavily and the other person is not. Or when one person is really focused on their high quality nutrition and the other is not. And then this is affecting their body, this is affecting their energy, and differences can lead to distance. I hear time and time again couples having issues because one person is irritated that their husband or wife has let themselves go since they've been married. Or since they've had children. As difficult as it is to go through any of the examples associated to a healthy spouse versus an unhealthy spouse, it is important to remember that there are things that you can both do to find some kind of balance between the two different lifestyles. And if it is affecting your attraction, closeness, and sex life, something needs to be said in a very delicate way. And this is what I help couples to do who join my online relationship strengthening 12-hour program. I give space for couples to share what they find attractive and what makes them turned on in their spouse. And this gives a safe way to encourage one another to share what they need, to share how the marriage can be enhanced by each other and get into the actions that are going to bring them closer. It's also important to discuss how each other's lifestyle choices are affecting you. And if there are habits that your husband or wife possesses that don't align with your lifestyle right now, it doesn't mean that you cannot work together to find a balance, to create change, to find a way forward. Also, I like to remind people that are very healthy, that do have great exercise plan, nutrition plan, often a healthy lifestyle for anybody doesn't happen overnight. Normally, it is a consistent thing that people are improving on, learning about, educating themselves, and growing. So if you have started this journey way before your spouse, then encourage them to begin the path and don't get irritated or annoyed if they're not as far along the path as you. Nagging them, making comments, putting them down is not going to help. As I mentioned earlier, I have my Emotions on Eating podcast and I help quite a few people with changing their eating patterns and overcoming emotional eating. And sometimes the men or the women that I support will say to me that their husband or wife is hoping that from them working with me that they're going to lose a certain amount of weight, that they're going to do this, they're going to do that. Like with the smoking, like with any habit, it will only remain a lifestyle lasting change if it's something that you want. And so being patient, guiding and encouraging and loving your spouse, educating them if they're open to receive the lessons and the learnings from you, embarking on a journey together, asking for their help and commitment to support you on your journey can go really, really far. And being mindful and respectful along the way. The worst thing is to try and get change by criticism, put downs, and guilt. And lastly, I just want to say, never be ashamed to seek professional help with any of this, whether that's for your fitness, for the marriage, for communicating certain topics like this. It is difficult. It's a very sensitive area to share with somebody that you're not finding their habits attractive, you're not finding their eating patterns or whatever it is attractive. It's difficult. However, if it is blocking something in the relationship, if it's causing a distance, if it's making you unhappy, then communicating it in a loving way that's going to help you move forward is very important, because it's not going to go away sadly by itself. It will take action and a positive approach, a positive strategy. So from my heart to yours, thank you so much for listening today. If you'd love to get some more tips from me, I would love to connect with you on my other social media platforms as well. I have a YouTube channel. You can connect with me on my Instagram. I have a Facebook page and group. And of course, you can go to my website where you can get the 7 Secrets ebook to saving your marriage. You can get my Forgive and Let Go meditation. And you can book a call with me if you have decided that you would like to do some one-to-one work to change your relationship. Take care. Bye.
Thank you for listening to How to Save Your Marriage with Nicola Beer. To book your free marriage strategy session today, you can visit www.nicolabeer.com, where you can also get the free marriage fixing ebook, request a topic for the show, and make a donation if the show has been of benefit to you and you want to help keep it going. We wish you an amazing love-filled day ahead.